Hello, friends. Hope you're having a good day today. Happy Monday, if you're listening to this on Monday. Otherwise, once again, hope you're having a great week. Hope the Lord's blessing you. Spiritual gifts. What is your spiritual gift? We're going to look at that. It's going to be more of an overview. If you want some material that is more in-depth, what I suggest is getting the Continue book by Striving Together Publications. I'll hold up my copy here. My kids decorated mine with stickers. This way I know it's mine, as we hand out quite a few copies of this. But it's a great book, discipleship book, and it's gives a lot of the, covers a lot of the great truths, including spiritual gifts. It's covered on page 206, 207. And so we can reference that. You can find this on Striving Together Publications. If you Google that, go to their website. I think these books are $14 a piece or something like that. Anyway, I highly recommend that. If you already have one of these, you can reference the spiritual gifts, page 206, 207. There are many people who feel like this. They feel like a puzzle piece. They know they're unique, but they don't know where they fit. And some people try to make the uniqueness that God has created them to be. They try to find complete fulfillment of that uniqueness within a job, within a some kind of social movement, or some kind of, some people even try to find it within their family. But the fact of the matter is that if you've been saved, God has placed you in a local church, God has given you a spiritual gift, and within that church, God has given you a way to really find depth of purpose and meaning and fulfillment within that church by using your spiritual gift. And so identifying your spiritual gift as a believer is so important. And so this is a puzzle that someone has gifted us. It looks pretty old school. And this puzzle piece goes in this puzzle. And if you were to try to make it fit in another puzzle, it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't make sense. It's so important to pray and ask God what church you should be a member of. And when God leads you to a specific church that is doctrinally correct, and you feel like the Lord is leading you to attend there and grow in that place, join the church, and then seek to be used of the Lord. Now, as we go through these gifts of the Spirit, these are not positions. So we know that when we're going through the gifts of the Spirit, these are not positions to be that have a title within the local church. It's something that God has given you. It's the way that your heart is shaped. Some people have more than one of these. Others seems as if perhaps one spiritual gift stands out above the others. But employing that spiritual gift in your church, putting that to use, allowing the Lord to lead you, brings such incredible sense of purpose. It's like, I know that I'm unique. I know that God has created me to be a unique individual. He's gifted me with certain gifts. And to be able to realize that, yes, I'm unique, and I can praise God that I am unique, just like that puzzle piece, but also that extra level of fulfillment and contentment in life, realizing in how I fit into the greater picture. And so we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture. Remember, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and it speaks about how, verse number 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And it begins to talk about spiritual gifts. We'll talk about the ones that are listed here very briefly. It says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We'll get into that in another episode, but I just wanted to cover the temporary gifts of the Spirit. Those are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go over these very briefly. This is not going to be a long episode of going through each of the spiritual gifts, describing them to great length, talking about them in each of the instances in which they are written. It's going to be, this is just going to be an overview. But 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8 through 10 says this: "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." The temporary gifts of the Spirit were employed for a short time during the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament time. These are found in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. They were as such. Now, I read them, but let me just read. I read the verses, but let me just read this quick list. We see the gift of tongues, the gift of interpreting the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of knowledge. Now, these are seen when you read through the book of Acts. You can see them employed by the apostles. These were employed as a sign that the gospel message was truly from God. We have to remember, the Jewish people in the Old Testament, they had temple worship, they had sacrifice, they had many different rituals to perform. They had a lot of outward signals from God that this is what God wanted them to do. When Christ died on the cross, a brand new era was coming into play, a brand new dispensation. God was going to deal with mankind now through grace. It's the age of the church. And so what were the supernatural signs that all of this was changing? God gave the apostles and some others these sign gifts. This was necessary as the gospel was being preached around the known world where Jews had settled, as is evidenced by the Apostle Paul always preaching to the Jew first in every synagogue he came to. These gifts were meant as miraculous signs for the benefit of the Jews. The Bible says that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. It says that in 1 Corinthians 1:22. So the gift of tongues is simply the ability to speak in a foreign language, in a known tongue. We see this example in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The gift of interpreting tongues was the supernatural ability to understand what someone was saying in a foreign language without naturally knowing that language. Some had the supernatural ability to work miracles of healing, such as the Apostle Paul in Acts 14:9 or Acts 28:8. The gift of knowledge meant they had supernatural knowledge of a thing or an event. We can see this in Acts 20 and verse 23 and Acts 21 and verse 11. The gift of prophecy is similar in the aspect of being to prophesy future events. Now, we recognize these gifts of the Spirit were legitimate for a particular time of period that is clearly seen throughout the book of Acts. We also recognize the book of Acts is a transitional book in the Bible. It records the span of time of the apostles and of the miraculous gifts of the Spirit as the gospel was being preached around the known world. During this time, the New Testament scriptures were also being written, quote, "as holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That's 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. As the book of Acts draws to a close, we see an ever-decreasing existence of these sign gifts. The same evidence presents itself throughout the epistles. The only book that these sign gifts, these temporary gifts of the Spirit, are mentioned is in 1 Corinthians. They aren't mentioned in any other New Testament books because they had ceased. These temporary gifts were to cease as the scriptures were to be written. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, I'm already here. It says, "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Now it's talking about the gifts specifically. In 2 Peter 1:19, it says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy," talking about the written word of God. We can observe throughout Scripture, yes, there were these temporary sign gifts that were meant to be used as a sign that there was a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that the message of Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross and his resurrection were authenticated by signs from the apostles in the ability to, in the ability to speak in tongues, also known as the gift of tongues, and the ability to interpreting the gift of tongues. So if someone was witnessing to somebody the gospel, the people listening and the person speaking could not, they could not speak each other's languages, but when the person would speak who had this gift, then the person listening could understand in that language, whereas a third party could then understand supernaturally what the speaker of the gospel was saying, right? So that's the gift of interpreting the gift of tongues. They had the supernatural gift of prophecy, being able to immediately foretell the future, the gift of healing, they could heal people, and they also had the gift of knowledge. Once again, once all of these gifts begin to die out as Scripture began to be written. So we don't need to worry about having those gifts or praying for those gifts or seeking for those gifts. You're not missing anything, okay? What's missing in your life is not that you need the gift of tongues or that you need the gift of healing or something like that. That's not what we're looking for. What are we looking for? We're looking for the permanent gifts. These are found in Romans 12. 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says, "Then, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth, with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Okay, there's the other list. These are the permanent gifts: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. Prophecy in this case is simply forthtelling or declaring God's word. Oftentimes we may describe it as being called to preach. Okay. This is the gift of the Spirit to preach God's word. The gift of ministry is also called the gift of helps in 1 Corinthians 12, and it is the gift to serve the Lord, to volunteer, to help. My, oh my, what a local churches would be missing out if so many people did not have this incredible heart to help out. It can be a visible thing where you may be on the platform helping out somewhere. It can be behind the scenes. It can be even after hours or before church opens up. Or it's just that strong desire to serve and to participate. And sometimes when people have this gift, not always, but sometimes when people have this gift, they have a strong desire not to be seen. They don't want their name known. They don't want to be in front of people. But they really want to serve the Lord, and they'll do anything they can to help out. That is called the gift of ministry, okay? Also, it's called the gift of helps. The gift of teaching is the gift of the Spirit to teach God's word. Some believers have an incredible ability and desire to teach children, teenagers, adults, college age, or senior saints. The Holy Spirit gives them this gift. Some people have the ability to study and read the Bible and understand doctrinal truth and then be able to present it to a particular age group in such a way that it can easily be understood, whereas other people who don't have that gift may look at someone who does have the gift and say, how do you do that? I read the Bible and I get something out of it, but I could never come up with a lesson. Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with you, okay? It's just the fact that you may not have that spiritual gift, and that's perfectly fine, all right? Others have the gift of exhortation. These saints have the supernatural ability to encourage, to come alongside someone, and to build them up in the faith, right? Some people just have this ability to look at people and sense that they need to be encouraged. If you go to the book of Acts, you can see where perhaps Barnabas had this ability. The apostle Paul was saved, and because of his reputation, well-founded reputation of persecuting Christians when he got saved, people didn't trust him. Christians didn't trust him. Barnabas had this gift where he came alongside Paul, encouraged him, helped him, and physically brought him into the group. That could be you. That could be your gift. If you have the ability to see people and say, man, I could help them in their Christian walk. Now, it's not making them do things, or it's not trying to point out the faults. It's not, that's tearing down, okay? Exhortation is building up. It's encouraging. Okay, the next one would, some have the gift of giving, where they have the means and desire to give generously to God's work. There are many, many ministries around the world and many missions, missionaries and ministries on foreign fields that benefit from those who have, maybe God has given them an ability to make money, but they're also very generous. Sometimes people, they may be of an average income, but they also have this supernatural ability to just be able to give large amounts of money very generously. And every Christian should give, every Christian should tithe, every Christian should give to missions. But God's not always given each believer this particular gift to give in this particular way. But perhaps that's your gift. Lastly, we see some have the gift to show mercy. They're empathetic, and they show the compassion of Christ to those in desperate need of it. All of the gifts come together in each local New Testament church to grow into Christ and to grow a mature, complete local church. Guys, if there's one thing we've learned throughout COVID, this whole period, 16, 18 months of COVID-19, is that we realize that we are a social people. And for the Christian, when God saved you, the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the moment of salvation, God has given you a gift, and some have been given multiple gifts. And you are to employ that gift in the context of your local church. That brings such incredible sense of connection to other people. It brings incredible value to your life. It brings you in closer fellowship with the Lord, because we must depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the discernment of the Holy Spirit, right? He's the one that whispers to us, if you're called to preach, this is what you preach. Here's an opportunity for you to teach. He leads you to that. If he's given you the gift of helps in ministry, he will lead your heart into that, and he will empower you to do that. Okay, and the same with the other supernatural abilities to exhort or build up and encourage, showing mercy and that compassion. and also to give and to be a generous giver. Listen, there is a purpose that you're here. There is a purpose. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose why you're in your church, why you are in the town that you're in the place that you're in the corner that you're in. And we will get through this period of our lives and come through stronger and more connected and with a greater sense of not just self-value, but we will see God in a much greater way if we, by God's grace, identify the gifts that God has given us and then seek to employ them under the authority of the local church and within that context. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Remember, hope for today depends upon knowing the scriptures and living by faith. We'll talk to you next week.